Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Chris Harris from WSMV here in Nashville. Chris, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me on. Just enjoying this this beautiful sunny morning.
It is a great day here in our area here. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Chris, a lot to get to you with here today. I'll start with, I think, the obvious. You asked a question yesterday of John Robinson. Good question about you. Just going through kind of the checklist for J-Rob on what he thinks that needs to get better from his end of things. How surprised were you about his response, and I guess in particular, how emotional John Robinson got with his response?
Yeah, always surprising anytime, especially in that setting, when anyone gets emotional. So, you know, you're sitting there, and he immediately starts to kind of pause, and you're like, is he tearing up? And then you're like, oh, my gosh, he is tearing up. And then it just became a how long is this going to last? And the pause, going back and watching the video, I timed it from the very beginning of his answer until the very end was a minute and 15 seconds, and the pause in the middle was at least 30 seconds, if not more. So it was something, and it was one of those deals where, like, when it's happening, you're kind of like, one, doing what we do, I'm like, my God, I hope we're rolling on this. And then after that, it's just like, well, we'll see where it goes from here. But it was something, because not something you usually, you know, expect in that type of setting, like I said.
So would you say you're more Barbara Walters or Roy Firestone in your ability to induce tears from your interview subjects, Chris?
Yeah, that's a good question. I can't think of any other time where it's, you know, caused someone to go to tears that quickly. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it was a moment.
All I know is that then Corey Curtis, you know, asked Vrabel about it. Like he said, yeah. And then you know, Vrabel gave his answer. And after that, I'm like, hey, nice try, Corey. But, you know, Chris Harris, I'm just saying, man.
Yeah,
you gave it a shot, buddy, but wrong guy to try to get to cry. No, and by the way, I did time it. It was 31 seconds, the pause.
Okay, there we go. It was just and I don't know about you guys, what you were thinking about it, but some of those instances, and maybe it's just because I'm getting older now, that I immediately started to think, my gosh, this, to me, like a sign of, a show of vulnerability is like an extreme confidence in yourself, right? Like you don't care what you're putting out there because you know who you are. And so to me, that's like a moment of courage. And that's really like what I was thinking in the middle of it is like, wow, he's really going there and he does not care. And that was impressive to me.
Yeah, no, go ahead, Robbie.
No, I was just saying, I thought it was a cool moment. And, you know, like you said, it's not something that you expect at the NFL Combine where, you know, a lot of times the answers are as cookie cutter as they get. I thought that was a nice, real moment yesterday from J-Rob.
Yeah, and you're right. Everything is cookie cutter, right? Like, we all want to know, you know, you talk about Harold Landry. We talk about the potential of the O-line turning over. There's obviously the Tannehill questions, plus other guys coming back from injury. Like, that's all boilerplate stuff. So I'm glad that, you know, the question, I don't know if how I would have broached the subject had we only had him at the podium because, you know, since we got him off to the side with just us where he's a little more comfortable, like I don't think there's any way that he tears up if he's on the podium in front of, you know, 50 people as opposed to the 12 of us who he knows and I assume feels more comfortable with. So I was glad that the Titans allowed us to do that because that's how it used to be at the Combine when we go up there before COVID shut everything down.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. It's hard to get more than like a question in with the other setting. So apart from this, Chris, what was your big or maybe two or three or whatever takeaways? Like, do you feel do you feel strongly about maybe the direction on this player or that player, or what did you think of the Tannehill discussion? What are your takeaways other than you being able to reduce people to tears?
The only thing I guess that I gleaned that was interesting and not, I guess, something that I already figured what the answer would be was when they talked about Ben Jones. I mean, I asked Vrabel about, or someone asked Vrabel about Ben Jones specifically, and the way he spoke about him was, you know, with respect to his durability. And when you end a sentence or end a thought with, that's something I'll always respect about him, it seemed to me a little past tense. Now, I don't know if you picked up on that or not, but I'm curious. That was something that kind of rang true in my head, but I don't know. We'll see.
Agree. No, that I absolutely. We talked about that earlier. I thought the same thing exactly.
Chris, what do you think of the Harold Landry situation? Obviously, you've got a lot of money invested in Bud Dupree. You know, the franchise tag window is open for Harold Landry. You could come to a long-term deal as well, or you could let him walk and not commit that much money to Harold Landry. Where do you think the Titans are on that? And if you're John Robinson, how do you view that situation with the amount of money that would be required to pay Harold Landry this offseason?
Yeah, and without knowing specifically how to make all of the money work, because I'm not Ben Marino, but, like, what was your best unit, your best group on the team this last season? It was the front four, and I mean by far. And so if I'm him, I'm doing everything I possibly can to keep those guys together no matter what it takes. That's the approach I would take.
Yeah, no, and I'm glad you brought up Ben Marino. For people who don't know, I mean, he's the guy behind the scenes who has to make all this stuff work. And it's going to be, I mean, there's some gymnastics required for this team. What about the Tannehill discussion? There's a lot of, and I wasn't sure it would go there because it has been discussed. It's not like there was going to be any real news, but there turned out to be just a lot of discussion back and forth. I think in some cases, just because some of the people who were there, and I can speak for myself on that, really hadn't been able to talk about that. So especially with Robinson, but what did you think of the back and forth on number 17?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you about, this is the first time we got to speak with J. Rob about Tannehill. And again, in our setting that we had off to the side, I thought he was way more forthright. But anytime you have a GM who's spelled it out there, I'm pretty sure he said something like, look, we know he had some bad games, all right? And he knows he had some bad games. Like, you don't really hear that, especially not during the season. It's all, you know, putting a spin on the positive, and we know we have to do better. But, like, no one's ever, like, said during the season specifically, this guy had a bad game, and we know about that. So I thought there was some more honesty and forthright talk regarding him about this past season. Now, as far as, yeah, going forward for this year, like, we already knew that what the situation is, he's the guy. Although he did, J. Rob did mention a little bit about, you know, looking towards the future and trying to figure that out, but the rest of it was kind of boilerplate stuff. But I did think it was interesting when he alluded to the fact that, look, yeah, he had some bad games. We know that.
Chris Harris from WSMV on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris, as you look at the draft, you know, obviously not knowing what's going to happen with Harold Landry, and there's still some, you know, cap decisions, free agent decisions that are going to have to be made before then. But as the team stands right now, what position of need are you looking at the most if you're John Robinson heading into the draft process with your first round pick?
Yeah. So before they make any cuts or free agent moves or whatever, right now, if I had to draft someone right this second, I think they got to go receiver. That's before anything happens, just because they need somebody. They need bodies. They got one for sure, likely two with Julio, and then that's it. So I think right now, before you make any moves, you go receiver. Now we'll see. That obviously all could change based on free agency and what they decide to do with cap cuts. But that's what I'd say for right now, right this second.
Chris, if you had a choice between watching, you know, an A-Sun quarterfinal or all of the best drills of the NFL Combine, which would you choose?
Well, I'm a hoops guy, so it would be A-Sun quarterfinal.
Oh, it was actually a loaded question. I know you're a hoops guy.
Okay, well, very good. And actually, you know, there's a perk to being up this early in the morning. I turned on the TV, and on ESPNU right now is the 1991 NCAA semifinal game between Duke and UNLV. So I got my next hour and a half, 2 hours set.
That's right.
All timer.
Very nice. Chris Harris from WSMV, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Chris, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
Happy to do it anytime, guys. Have a great day.
Absolutely. Thanks, you, Chris. As well. Chris Harris from WSMV our guest Hill and Robbie and Rexroad. We'll come back. We'll react to what Chris had to say there. Got more of your thoughts on the Titans to get to on the other side as well. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel discussing the pain of losing against Cincinnati. That on full display yesterday for the Titans, especially with John Robinson and his comments to Chris Harris. Thanks to Chris Harris for joining us in the last segment. The Nashville Predators in Bridgestone Arena appreciate and recognize military first responders and their families. Your company can help fund tickets for these heroes during Ford Military Week, the week of March the 7th. You can learn more about the Hero Salute Program at NashvillePredators.com/military week. Joe, let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, J-Rob and his crocodile tears aren't fooling me. He's still on the hot seat until he gets over the hump. This is coming from a texter on the text line. Still on the hot seat, that J-Rob.
Here's one thing about yesterday that I thought of is like, yeah, if they're like 2-4 next year or something or whatever, they're terrible loss, whatever it is, people are going to bring this up. It's an unfortunate reality, but people are going to bring, oh, you know, oh, cry a little bit more. Yeah, I mean, that's just what it is, right? That's just what it is. So look, if you're a fan who's upset about this, bottom line is John Robinson's job is to build the best possible team you can have. So I get it, but I would tend to agree with Chris. I mean, I think he's right that it's a show of confidence. I also, again, I personally just appreciate humans being humans. And if there's a suggestion there at all, like, you know, like this is some sort of like act, you know, like, please don't be mad at me. You know, that's not what it was. I mean, he got caught up in emotion thinking about the opportunity they squandered, and put yourself in his shoes. If you're a Titans fan, you care deeply, and that was a killer. But I mean, you know, if it's your job and your daily routine is trying to figure out how to build a team in a very tough league to win in, very tough league to get yourself to the end of a postseason, and you have that opportunity and it gets flushed like that, whew. Kick to the stomach that's going to leave a mark for a while.
Yeah, no question about it. And that was on full display yesterday from John Robinson. It was interesting to me that apparently you, me, and Chris all have the same view of the Ben Jones thing of it kind of felt like Vrabel was speaking in the past tense there. Now, again, maybe Vrabel just talking. I don't know. But I've always thought that Ben Jones would be a guy that they probably want to bring back. And I don't know. It just kind of felt like those comments with Vrabel yesterday signaled to me that he could be gone.
Right. Now they'll sign him and Vrabel, you know, be like, what are you guys talking about? Yeah. Just saying, I admired it. What are you talking about here? But yes, no, totally. And so, and honestly, so I was right to the right of Vrabel. Okay. So I asked a question about Ben Jones and he's given that answer. And at the very end, again, this could be totally me jumping to conclusions, but when he said that very last thing, I always admire, he kind of like shot a look at me, which I almost took like, do you get this? He's not coming back. So if he doesn't come back, then that's all wow. Excellent analysis and you know, really being a keen observer. And if they do sign him, then again, what an idiot. Don't ever listen to me.
See, Vrabel loves you. He gave you the look.
No, it has nothing to do with that, but it's just sort of like, if you're going to ask me about Ben Jones, you know, like here's, you know, read between the lines here. By the way, Vrabel, speaking of loving media, was asked, Glennon did ask him, why do your press conferences stink? Huh?
Yeah.
And he was basically like, I was talking about me. So unfortunately, he did not start singling us out for why all of us contribute to the suckiness of the press conferences.
Rex Rhodes, his hair is all out of whack, and everybody other than Teresa can't ask a question the right way. It's just, it's unbelievable.
Terry McCormick has a Commodore 64.
Yes.
With an antenna trying to do Zoom calls.
I was really hoping he'd go down that road, but he didn't. But doesn't that make you feel better? Vrabel's not ripping at you. He was ripping at himself.
Yeah, but I kind of was hoping. I was hoping for more than that. We need to get a feud going here.
Beautiful stuff. The J-Rob thing is interesting to me because, you know, as you mentioned, Jared was talking about on his show yesterday how maybe the emotions are him just thinking about the Tannehill contract and how he signed Tannehill to a deal. I don't think it was quite that. Oh no, he's our quarterback. Which again, I am sure, at least I would hope that if you're John Robinson, you're thinking somewhat differently about Ryan Tannehill in the quarterback spot after what we saw last year and particularly in that game. But I don't think that's why he was emotional yesterday. It just signaled to me like this is a general manager who knows what type of team they had this past year, who knows that you had home field advantage throughout the playoffs leading up to the Super Bowl, and you let an opportunity just totally get away from you. And, you know, I think John Robinson is going to be a general manager in the league for a long time. I think he's going to be a general manager here for a long time. But you never know how many opportunities, how many kicks at the can you get at it. And I think by most accounts, this Titans team had a real chance this past season to do something special, to end up in the Super Bowl, maybe to win a Super Bowl, and to have the game play out against Cincinnati the way that it did is obviously really disappointing. I thought one of the other things that he talked about that was interesting that they continue to make a theme was, yes, the turnovers that you had were disappointing if you're Ryan Tannehill and the Titans, but he also talked about how Cincinnati's defense was really good at forcing turnovers down the stretch in key moments. And that's something that Vrabel's talked about a lot. You heard John Robinson talk about it yesterday. The idea of your defense forcing more turnovers, that continues to be a point of emphasis for the Titans.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, there's a lot of – they usually go hand in hand. That it's like – and even after the game, Vrabel's like, well, three turnovers. But by the way, basically, like, how do you sack someone nine times and not get one that way? You know, so both things are points of emphasis. You know, on the whole, in all seriousness, on the Tannehill thing, and again, this is where Caroline, you know, like I'm sorry, Caroline, but like this was the big picture. Oh my God, we had this incredible opportunity. He said, I mean, he's talking about like that place was rocking. We had another one. It was the lost opportunity. If you want to get serious about Tannehill and really dig in on Tannehill and John Robinson, let's go back to six games into 2019, because we know how things work in this league. And that was the fourth season for John Robinson. It was the second season for Mike Vrabel, who it had been fine. He had a pretty good debut season. Didn't make the playoffs, but like it was pretty promising. But it wasn't like, oh, yeah, we can see why you hired Vrabel. 2-4, worst offense in the league. Look, if that season goes the same way it was going, John Robinson's job absolutely could have been up for serious discussion by Amy Adams Strunk and, you know, and who she talks to about decisions like that. Don't fool yourself for a minute. Ryan Tannehill, you could absolutely argue, saved his job. Ryan Tannehill is a huge, huge part of why John Robinson is here today lamenting a team that was a number one seed that should have gotten to the Super Bowl. So let's keep that in mind. That says nothing about what he did. It was terrible. You know, I mean, and the doubts about Tannehill moving forward, totally fair. But if you really think Robinson's like, oh, 17, what have I done? Dude, that's why he's here. Sure, if we could all go back in time, I mean, I would think differently about the Tom Brady thing. I thought 2 years ago, I didn't think we'd see great football from Tom Brady. That's my mistake. Maybe John Robinson thought the same thing. It's also taken a leap or two to believe that this was where Brady wanted to go.
Yeah.
But they made their choice. And you still have to keep in mind what that did for the trajectory of the franchise. No matter where it goes from here, it completely turned around that season. And of course, leads to the AFC Championship game. And we know what happened since then. Don't forget that.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And it's one of those things, too, where again, it's tough to separate the overall picture from what we just saw the last time out. I still think John Robinson has done a really nice job for the most part. And like the idea that he's on the hot seat right now, I just think is kind of laughable. Henry on the text line says, I believe John Robinson will put a good team together and will do so in the future as well, but he cannot play the game. So get off of John. We all know that any general manager can do better than they're doing, but he's doing a good job so far. So yes, I mean, there's always room for improvement. Like no GM has a 100% hit rate. Now to the point of the John Robinson detractors, I guess at the moment, the drafts have got to get better. The last couple of drafts have not been good to this point, and they got to get better. Like you can't continue to operate that way and think that you're going to be competitive down the line.
Well, I agree. Now that's another thing we haven't really talked about yet from yesterday is two guys from last draft who could make the 21 draft look better, you know, in retrospect. I mean, Christian Fulton has helped a little bit with the 20 draft, right?
Sure.
But, you know, those two rookies who did basically nothing last year, they are both huge individual storylines for the 2022 Titans. I mean, that's what you have to have. You have to be able to find productive players. So it has to be better this year in terms of immediate impact, but maybe from the 21 draft, they've got a couple guys who are actually going to make a difference.
We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Take more of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I've also got some tickets to give away coming up on the other side as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode and Michelle Konezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Sean, who wants to weigh in. Sean, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rexrode.
How's it going, fellas? Good morning.
Good morning.
I've been having a thought every draft, every year for the last two or three years. It's not a huge deal. I understand Robinson's trying to find specific draft picks that fit in with, you know, he's always looking for, you know, good work ethic and attitude and all those intangibles they're always talking about. Why not just, you know, give a go on this guy's better than everyone else at his position and just take him instead of trying to microanalyze it so much to the point of, I think that's why he's missing on so many of them, is take the best guy at his position, if available, and run with that once or twice and see how that works. And that's all I got. I just wanted to hear what you guys have to say about that.
Hey, thanks for the call, Sean. Look, I mean, I think that there are ingredients that the Titans appreciate that they feel like are important. I think they value toughness, both physically and mentally. I think they value players that, you know, quote unquote, love football and want to play hard, all these things. I think they value those things. I don't think the Titans are sitting there saying, you know what, this guy over here is a really good player, but we're going to pass on him because we really like the attributes this other guy brings to the table. Like, I still think the most important thing the Titans are looking at is, do they think a guy can play? And do they think a guy can play at a high level? Do they value those other things? Sure. And that's part of what, you know, the pre-draft interview stuff is about, is trying to figure out, all right, well, this is a good prospect. We feel like this is a player that can help our team. What are they like? What's their work ethic like? What do their coaches say about them? What does the tape tell us in terms of the way that they play the game? But I don't think that the Titans are sitting here actively trying not to pick the best player available to them. Now, look, you can disagree with, you know, going for the best player available. Like, there are some people that say, you know, Greg Newsom was right there at corner and you picked Caleb Farley, who was hurt and had barely played cornerback in his career. Why didn't you just take Greg Newsom? Like, I have time for those arguments. Like, I think you can argue with some of the picks that they've had and some of the draft picks that they've used. But I don't think the Titans are sitting there, you know, passing on good players because they feel like other guys match their culture better.
Yeah, look, I mean, I will say that Vrabel yesterday was kind of asked about the interviews and stuff like that. And he had like a comment, something about, you know, do you get a second date, you know, referring to after you do the initial interviews, then do you want to continue the process? And I mean, he said like a lot of guys get eliminated like that, basically, yeah. You know, so does that mean in that process, you're eliminating some people who could be really helpful to your football team? Probably, but I mean, look, I think you have to look at what they've done. They just squandered a huge opportunity. They've also found some consistency here. They also have had, you know, they've had some weird, you know, some losses and stuff like that. But for the most part, there's a consistency and there's certainly a toughness in games, you know, and battling back in games. Look at some of the wins they had last year that I think you would have to point to the intangibles there with some of that. Vrabel played in the league. Vrabel highly values, and I say Vrabel, I mean, I think Vrabel and Robinson together, but he, you know, he's been on these NFL teams and he highly values like what I like to call just like a good work environment, because everybody uses the term culture.
Yes.
But take it to anything you do. How much more productive, successful, efficient, whatever you want to call it, is a workplace where people aren't pointing the finger at each other and worrying about who gets the credit and actually getting along and having real conversations and all that stuff. And he puts a high, high value on that. And I don't think he's wrong, but there is a balance too. Sometimes it's like, I mean, the dude runs a 4.2.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, that football player is just too good. And if you're strong enough, this is what I've said before. Well, even like with Julio Jones last year, which it turns out to be overblown, I believe, or at least it hasn't materialized here. But if you do have a strong place like that, like let's say maybe the Rams with Odell Beckham coming in, then you should also be able to add someone who's super talented who maybe hasn't had that reputation, but then you fold it in and say, hey, this is how we do things here. These are our leaders. Come in and let's win.
Well, exactly. Like if you're – culture or work environment or whatever term you want to use, if that can be ruined by one person coming into a football team, then your culture or work environment is probably not that strong to begin with.
It's overrated.
Right? Yeah.
It's overrated.
So I think that's a great point. Let's go back to the text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, why are people saying that he keeps missing? Sure, he's had some bad ones, but so does every GM. Simmons, Byard, Landry, A.J. Brown, the list goes on and on of good picks. Derrick Henry, I would throw into that list as well. I think the point, though, is the first-rounders, right? Like, the first-rounders have got to get better. I mean, we're talking about Rashawn Evans probably not being here next year. Jeffrey Simmons has been great. That was a, you know, I guess somewhat of a risky pick at the time based on the fact that he had been injured, and that probably caused him to fall further than he normally would. But that's worked out really well for the Titans. And then there's Isaiah Wilson, and we'll see about Caleb Farley. Interested to hear thoughts on him yesterday as well from John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. But the first round part of this has got to get better. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. But yes, the entire picture of the draft, there have been a whole lot of hits in there as well.
To the point of Sean's call, by the way, let's go to Simmons, because, I mean, to me, that was – now, they had, you know, they'd done the interviews, and I think they felt good about things, but still, like, Jeffrey Simmons was not far removed from the incident in high school where he hit a woman several times. And I know that there's a whole story to that, and she was fighting his sister and all that stuff, but, like, Jeffrey Simmons was officially a quote-unquote character concern coming into the NFL because of that, and it was a very controversial,
yep,
you know, when he went into Mississippi State. I mean, I still remember Dan Mullen, SEC Media Days, giving a 14-minute and 38-second opening statement so he could not have Jeffrey Simmons questions asked of him. But anyway, so there's an example of, to me, like, they looked at Jeffrey Simmons, the player, and also, like, the value, he was hurt and he drops them, but it's like okay, like, that's just an incredible football player. I mean, you're still going for talent. And yes, to the point about Robinson in the draft, I mean, if you are a total John Robinson stan, you can go look at his history as a GM and you've convinced yourself he's the greatest GM ever. And if you're totally down on him, you can find plenty of mistakes. to me, like, what, tell me what the record of the team is and what they've done when a GM is in place. That's a very easy way to judge a GM.
Yeah. And I don't know. I just think back to the Jeffrey Simmons situation, just the model of ethics, Dan Mullen getting up there talking. It's always fun to think about that stuff. It's great.
Oh, man. He was a BSer then. He's a BSer now. Good coach,
Nate,
though.
Nate, good coach. Nate on the text line says, how would we judge J-Rob's draft skills if another player ends up being great but has more off-the-field problems that ends up with another cut? So I guess going back to the Isaiah Wilson situation, I think statistically the odds of you having another Isaiah Wilson situation are pretty low.
This brings up another opportunity to rip Jared, the president of the Tannehill Tattletales.
Yes.
So, I just saw this on Twitter yesterday. So, John Robinson, the quote I just mentioned, which was, it's hard to get a first, get a second date. And then Jared quote tweeted like, how did Isaiah Wilson get a second date? You know, well, look, we've talked about this, but to quickly summarize that situation, we had Isaiah Wilson on a Zoom call shortly after the draft. He was incredible. He was awesome. He was a fantastic personality. Like, it was, I was like, oh, this guy's going to be great. Not to mention his physical ability. The process, the vetting, the talking to people at Georgia, all that stuff, it did not predict what was going to happen with Isaiah Wilson off the field, which largely had to do with just basically being out of control off the field. So, look, it's a huge missed opportunity. It's a huge hole where you could have so many different people in the first round.
But it's a hole they're still paying for. I don't think there's any question about it. Yeah.
No question. And I'm not sitting here saying you can't give them any blame at all. Okay. I mean, I guess talk to more people. Find the person at Georgia who could have predicted this, but they all say they couldn't have. There was some, he didn't show up for a workout like in Houston. So there was some little things in there. But look, that was a situation where it went wrong after he got paid and got to Nashville. So the idea that you go back in retrospect and say, man, those interviews, how did you – I bet you he destroyed the interviews. I bet you he knocked them out of the park because he has that kind of personality.
Adam in Portland on the text line says, your head coach is coach of the year, but the GM is on thin ice. Get out of here. No, he's not. We're bored. We need football back, boys. Adam, taking issue with Titans fans who think that J-Rob's in the hot seat.
Right. Well, I agree with you, Adam. But here's the thing. It's not football season. If we had football season year-round, I'm here for it. Great. I'll even watch some USFL games. But it's not football season. So I want to watch basketball and not underwear Olympics.
You know you're going to be watching those 40 times a day. It's going to happen.
I mean, if somebody runs like a 4:07, then I will find the tweet of it and watch the video of the 40.
You know, you were live streaming the Rondale Moore vertical jump last year.
And the Rondale Moore in the shuttle run? Oh, my gosh.
It's pretty
replayed
good.
It over and over and over.
I got some tickets to give away to see the Nashville Predators take on the Anaheim Ducks coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday, March the 10th. Be caller number 5 at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Ducks coming up next Thursday at Bridgestone Arena. We'll continue the conversation coming up on the other side. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. ESPN 102.5 The Game is Nashville's official home of NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1:30 for the Pennzoil 400 at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Also, get set for the race with Chasing Checkers every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Dennis on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, said, Harold Landry is Horace Grant, a good player on his own, but fantastic with Jordan and Pippen. He needs to realize he looks better with Simmons and Autry. This is coming from Dennis on the text line.
Okay.
Horace Grant, I like it.
Hey, man, Horace Grant, those Bulls teams, when he really got to where that 15 to 17-footer was automatic, I mean, he's a very underrated part of those teams. I don't hate that. Harold equals Horace. Yeah. I do hate that we have to equate things to the freaking Bulls, who would lose by 20 to the Warriors of this era, Michelle. But that's fine.
I'm going to see the Bulls tonight in Atlanta.
Really?
And then driving back. So tomorrow morning, I will be.
That'll go well.
Very awake.
I got to make sure to come into the studio just to see this.
Yeah. Do some good stuff.
Pull an all-nighter?
Heck yeah. It's Friday. It's Thursday to Friday. Why not, right? We're young. We're only young once.
Oh, to be young again. I'm not that young anymore. I'm dragging after staying up last night watching the Preds Kraken game. It's a bad day, man.
I could probably get Michelle to play like some like uncut versions of like Dre songs tomorrow, you know?
Please don't. After all night. Could really be the last show of Robbie and Rex. Right.
Good night, everybody. Ben Jones and Robbie and Rex. Good night. We'll always see you admire later. You.
It's been a good run here on the program. The program has come to an end. Ron on the text line says, so the Titans will coddle and pacify Tannehill all season because we don't have anyone there to push him. He could be the same guy next year. He needs a guy behind him to push him. Well, who's behind? Yeah. Like, who's pushing him that's behind him? Like,
yeah, so I love this one too. And again, I think that there's in sports, competition certainly is good, okay?
Sure.
But if you think that Tannehill had a bad year last year and had a terrible playoff game because he's like complacent or, you know, it's the same thing with Mariota. Like when Mariota was struggling, I heard a lot of that, like get someone in there and say, you better win this job. It's like, he's just not good enough. Like yeah. He works hard. Like you ask anybody in the building, Mariota's like in the weight room all day long. And he's doing everything you can do.
Skipping rocks out by the river to practice for game days on Sundays.
There
good
you
stuff.
Go. Very nice. Very nice. But seriously, like that's not the problem. The problem is, can Tannehill have the poise and the gumption in those pressure moments to make the plays and not make the bad plays? Being pushed by someone from behind is not going to make it. Now, have someone behind him because you may need to replace him. Sure. I mean, you'd love to have better depth at quarterback and an alternative to him if he doesn't play well, but this is not the product of complacency. Okay.
No, I don't look. I think everybody would recognize that Ryan Tannehill checks a lot of the boxes that you're looking for in a quarterback. You know, outside of you turning the ball over this year, not playing well in big moments. But, I mean, the work ethic part of it and all that other stuff, I think he's pretty universally loved in that locker room and with that coaching staff. And as we know, if you don't do that stuff, you're not going to go well with Mike Vrabel. So I don't think that's an issue with Ryan Tannehill. Like the idea of bringing somebody in to push him, it's like, okay, I hear you. Number one, how much money are you wanting to spend on a backup quarterback? And number two, like who is that guy? Like, are you bringing Marcus Mariota back in here to try to push Ryan Tannehill? Who's the guy? I mean, he could be a draft pick. But, again, unless you're moving up in the draft, you're probably not drafting a quarterback that you want to start right away. So, it's not – even that's not pushing Ryan Tannehill. It's – this is your potential maybe eventual replacement for Ryan Tannehill. So, I don't know what you do to push Ryan Tannehill. Like, to me, if you're making a quarterback move, you're bringing in somebody that's unquestionably better than Ryan Tannehill, and that's not going to happen.
Right. So, like it or not, I mean, the story of the 2022 Tennessee Titans, if it's the story you want to hear, if it's what you want to see, is going to be the story of the redemption of Ryan Tannehill. I get it if you're not comforted by that, but it's where things are.
Yeah. Billy in Columbia texting in says, Tannehill is a confidence player. When his confidence is high, he can lead this team wherever he wants to. Get hit like he did last year, and it struggles. We've got to keep the pieces around him and keep his confidence high. It's coming from Billy on the text line.
I think that's a good analysis. I mean, look, I think some things around him last year, we've gone over this ad nauseum week after week, broke down, weren't good enough. He's got to respond better too, though. So I think we've learned that Tannehill, it doesn't have to be perfect around him, because he does. He makes plays on some loose plays. Sometimes he makes plays with his feet. He's made some big-time throws after extending plays and things like that. It's not like Kirk Cousins, for example. You know, Kirk Cousins, give him a clean pocket, he's probably going to throw you an accurate pass and move the ball down the field, you know? Disrupt that at all, it might not go well for you. Tannehill is a little bit more of a playmaker, but still, things need to be a lot better around him than they were last year. Can the Titans get them there? I don't know.
Got a text, Scott from Goodlettsville texting in, says, why the bashing of Tannehill for not being elite or Hall of Fame worthy, yet the media fawns over Pekka, who has no Stanley Cup and maybe even not a Hall of Famer? Very hypocritical. This coming from Scott in Goodlettsville. That's quite the flex.
Wow, there's a take.
Yeah. Well, first off, you want to talk about being elite. He's got more wins than any other Finnish goalie of all time. He's in like the top. He's one of the best goalies to ever play the game in some categories. He won a Vezina trophy, which is literally the definition of elite, because you're the best goalie in the league that year. He is a borderline Hall of Famer. I don't know if he's going to get in or not. I would probably lean no to him getting into the Hall of Fame. But Pekka was a top player at his position for several years, for most of his career. That's a little bit different than Ryan Tannehill.
Yes. Also, on the start of that, you know, he's saying ripping him for not being a Hall of Famer. They're ripping him for throwing three picks in a playoff game. I mean, that wasn't, oh, not quite a Hall of Famer. Just, you know, a little bit more, a little Aaron Rodgers, a little Brady. You get over the hump. It was, you threw three picks. The first play of the game, you threw it to the other team. Late in the game, when you have a wide open tight end going across the middle of the field, you threw into coverage and gave the other team the win in regulation. So I'm sorry, but like, this is not, oh, he's not quite a Hall of Famer. This is, you totally botched an incredible opportunity.
Well, and it, look, to be fair, it is he good enough to win a Super Bowl? Like, I think that's a part of this equation. Sure. Is Ryan Tannehill good enough to win a Super Bowl? Like,
and by the way, real quick, Pekka was good enough to win a Stanley Cup. Like, was within two wins of it.
Do we not think that Pekka was good enough? Like, just because you don't win one, like Philip Rivers to me was good enough in his prime to win a Super Bowl. He didn't do it.
Steve McNair. He came a yard short.
Steve McNair was good enough to win a Super Bowl. He didn't do it. Is Ryan Tannehill good enough to win a Super Bowl? Maybe. I mean, it's hard to I think, convince a lot of people of that based on what we've seen in the playoffs the last few times out, but maybe he is. But again, Pekka was an elite player at his position for a decade. It's a much different conversation.
Right. Like, basically, like, I'm trying to think, who would be the quarterback equivalent of Pekka? Like, absolute top, yeah, top five goalie in the league for an extended stretch.
Yeah.
Maybe Rivers, I guess. That's not a terrible, although I don't even know that. I think it'd be even higher on the goalie food chain than Rivers was at QB, maybe.
Well, it's so different, though, because, like, yeah. I think Philip Rivers is going to be a Hall of Famer. I don't think that Pekka probably will. I think he's got a chance, but I don't think he ultimately will end up getting in there. So it's a different comparison from that stretch. But the point is, like, how many years has Ryan Tannehill been thought of as an elite quarterback? I mean, I guess you could make an argument, in, you know, 2020, as he's out there slinging the ball. And, you know, we started talking about comparing his stats to Patrick Mahomes over the course of the last couple of years. Maybe some people put him in that category, but it's not even remotely comparable to me.
Well, I mean, he was an MVP candidate, and he was actually discussed outside of Nashville for, you know, a few weeks of that season. But yeah, that's a fleeting glimpse compared to what Pekka was over a long period of time.
JD on the text line says, I've always been a Tannehill fan while he's been here with the Titans. However, it seems more often than not, when the brightest lights come on, Tannehill looks like a deer in headlights. I don't consider him that much ahead of Andy Dalton at this point. He took a large step back this year and just didn't seem to be in tune mentally. I was fooled also, but I'm really not sure what else is out there for the Titans to grab. So it looks like he'll be here for at least another year. I mean, he's going to be here for another year. There's no question about it.
Yes. Ryandy Daltahill. That's not the worst comparison.
No. Anytime you can use to say that name, you'll do it, huh?
I'd almost forgotten about it. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah. Mitch from Dixon texting in says, Pekka equals Dan Marino. I don't know if I'd go that far, but.
Dan Marino. Dan Marino is, I'd say he's the greatest quarterback to never win a Super Bowl, right? Yeah, I think that's quite clear. Yes. Dan Marino, I mean, some people, look, I know some people who are like, he's the best quarterback ever, period. I don't care what you say. Go watch him play. It's not quite that.
That's kind of disrespectful to Dan Fouts, but yeah, I hear you.
Well, Dan Fouts, we're talking Dan's here.
Dan
Fouts was Dan Marino before Dan Marino.
I know. That's what I'm talking about. Slinging that thing like, around.
They both ran 5.7 40s and could move like an inch in the pocket, but man, they had cannons.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.